Ross Allen Hill is the founder, president, and CEO of Bank 2 in Oklahoma City. It's a bank that focuses on building better lives. In 2009, it was named the number one community bank, and it's been named one of Oklahoma's top places to work. Your book is entitled Broken Pieces, Nothing is Wasted. Kind of an interesting title, Ross. Tell us how that title came about and what that means.
Well, for a long time, people have been telling me I needed to write a book. And about 5 years ago, a friend of mine developed some very unique art that's made from broken pieces of glass. He's a glass blower, and his son was his helper, and he's a very accomplished artist. And every day his son would sweep up the broken pieces of glass off the floor of the studio and put them in the trash and eventually haul them off to the dump. And Micah kept saying to his dad, Chris, he said, Dad, we've got to figure out some way to make something out of these broken pieces. And Chris explained to Micah that you can't do that, that the glass was heated to liquid form, 2,000 degrees, color was added to it, and then it broke, and it didn't cool down in the needler the proper way, and it just can't be reused. But because Micah was such a faithful son, Chris finally gave in to his request, and one day they started on a journey to try to figure out how to blow glass out of these broken pieces. And they finally figured it out. And it has become the number one art-selling object of their studio. Well, that same time, I was looking for a spiritual what's-it for my office. I used to have a railroad spike from Colorado sitting on my desk, and people would come in and pick it up, and they'd say, what is this? Where did it come from? What is it? And I would tell them it was from a vacation. And one day, I just sensed God telling me, you need a spiritual what's it in your office. And it was the same time when Chris had developed this technique of blowing glass. And so I commissioned the first one for spiritual purposes. It was the fourth vase he had blown like this. And Chris and Micah prayed over it as they blew it. And it's a beautiful hand-blown glass vase, 33 inches tall, and it's in my office. It's brilliantly lit. It has all kinds of broken pieces of glass laying around the bottom of it. These shards, just shards like they used to blow my vase. And my vase has all the colors of the rainbow in it to represent all the people of the world. And I asked them to put black in it to represent our heartaches, our brokenness, our sin, our separation from God, and red to symbolize being washed in the blood, and white to symbolize being made pure and whole. And it's a perfect example of what God does in our lives when, regardless of how broken we are, regardless of what we've been through, God, when we surrender our lives to Him, He can take our lives and totally remake them into something more beautiful, I think, than what the original was. Mm-hmm.
So you've turned this piece of art really into a metaphor for all of our brokenness and the fact that these broken pieces of our lives are not wasted, that they can come together in something even more beautiful. What a beautiful metaphor. And does it serve that way? Do people walk into your office and say, what's it? And it gives you an opportunity to share that? And do they often then open up with their own particular brokenness?
They do. The vase is so beautiful. It just draws people to it. And many times people want to actually touch the vase. And they are all curious to hear the story behind it. Even if they don't ask, I see them looking at it, and I'll say, I noticed you looking at my vase. And then I'll tell them the story. And what I discovered is that there are a lot of people in this world that are living in the midst of brokenness. I've read that 7 out of 10 are, I don't know if that statistic's correct or not. I don't know how you would know for sure. But I do know this, that the vast majority of people that come into my office are living in some form of brokenness. Many of them are stuck in that brokenness. And God has used this story of redemption that I tell through my vase as a means to start people healing again. It's been amazing to see the things that have happened in my office. And that's what the book's about. The book has 10 or 12 stories of things that have happened with different customers or individuals that have come into my office. And it's a beautiful story of what God can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you have a storyteller that does a show and he invites another storyteller on, I would be remiss in my storytelling duty if I didn't ask you to maybe share, if you could, one story of how that vase began a conversation, broke open a conversation that helped someone in their healing process.
Well, the problem is selecting the one from one storyteller to another. But I'll just share the one that came to my mind.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
There's a story a chapter named Divine Locations. I had to get a physical for life insurance. And, you know, they come and they want to take your blood and urine samples and all this stuff, blood pressure, and answer a million questions. And I did not want to do that exam in my office. My office has a lot of glass. I don't want to have all this stuff going on at the bank. And so I said, I'll just come to your office. And they said, no. And I insisted that I come to their office. And they said, no. I even called the life insurance salesman and told him, I need to go to their office, get that arranged for me. And he called back and said, they have to come to your office. It's just not going to work any other way. And I almost canceled. And I finally just gave in and said, okay. And the gentleman came, and he sat down across from me at the desk, and we were talking, and he noticed my vase. And I shared the story of my vase with him. And the guy was in his mid to late 50s, and he started weeping. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, what's going on? And then he started to tell me the story that he has a weekend ministry in some rural town of Oklahoma, and he does this job that he does through the week and then has his weekend ministry. And about 60 days before he came to my office, he'd gone home at night and to find his wife of 30-some years, bags packed in the living room, and she handed him an envelope and said, I'm done with this marriage, and these are the divorce papers, and whether you sign them or not, we're getting a divorce. And she picked up her bags and went out to the car and drove off. And it had just absolutely devastated him. And Sunday was to be his last day at his little weekend ministry. And I said, so why are you, did they fire you? Why is this your last weekend? He goes, oh, no, they want me to stay, but I can't do that. I'm not worthy of being the pastor of that church. And I said, well, I don't understand that. I said, were you having an affair? Well, no. I said, beating your wife up? No. I said, you know, you may not have been the greatest husband. I'm sure that there's two sides to this story, but I said, you know, I don't think that that's what you need to do. So I think you need to go back to your church leaders and say you'd like to continue being the pastor of the church. Maybe you need to take 30 days off, 60 days off to heal. But I think you need to stay as the pastor of the church. Well, to this day, he's still the pastor of the church. But, you know, he walked in my office so so heavily burdened by everything that was happening in his own personal life. And just somebody taking a little time with him and sharing the story of redemption and listening to his story and eventually praying with him changed his whole perspective mm-hmm. on life. And to this day, the guy is still the pastor of that church. And, you know, that's just a wonderful example of just having something in your office that you can share with someone about Christ and how Christ can change their life and put their brokenness back together.
Would you agree, Ross, that sometimes we go about our lives, especially in a working environment, and we're so focused on the task at hand that we're not open to these cues that we're given by the Lord, that somebody is in front of us that needs help, but we don't even notice it. We don't engage it and so forth. Do you think that the vase in your office has become kind of a tool, if you will, to at least open you up to listening to their hardships and discouragement and to be able to offer them something? Is that a means of opening things up?
Absolutely. You know, I decided 5 years ago when I put it in my office that I was going to be very intentional about sharing my faith. What I didn't realize was how multifaceted brokenness is. It's more multifaceted than the most brilliant diamond I've ever seen. And every age, every size, shape, form you can imagine. But for someone to just care enough to say, tell the story and then listen to the response is pretty unique today, I think. And God has been able to use it to speak to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to share the story now with about 1,600 first-time visitors.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Over the past 5 years.
And, you know, oftentimes God gives us those little nudges that we should engage people in conversation, and oftentimes we're just a little, I don't know, reluctant to do it. So an icebreaker like that. I've for years kept a Bible on my desk, and I don't mention it. I don't talk about it. And every now and then somebody will point to it, and they'll begin to tell me their story. And it's just a very subtle way of introducing a conversation.
It really is, and the vase is just so beautiful that people are just drawn to it. And they want to know the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great way, and they've invited me to share. So it works really well for that.
Well, I'm glad the people. I'm glad everyone told you that you need to write a book, because the stories in the book are all as fascinating as that one. I have been traveling and just got back into town and got it. It was sitting in my front door when I got back, and I've been spending some time with it. Ross, it's a great piece. It's Broken Pieces, Nothing Is Wasted. Ross Allen Hill is the author, and if you'd like to hear some more of those stories and read more about this wonderful experience with the vase, it's in that book, and it's available through Fusion Ministries. Ross, it's been great. Thank you so much for sharing with us today on Finding God's Grace.
Thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate your interest in that.
God bless you.